Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Let's take some time together before we get into God's Word, and let's take a few moments to pray and ask God to still our hearts to as we reflect on how good God is to us and how good Jesus is to us. Let's also take some time to ask Him to keep us from all distractions that surround us so that we can together focus on His Word together. So let's take some time to pray, shall we? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for how good You are to us. Jesus, thank You for saving us, for redeeming us. We who were sinners against You, yet You came, died on the cross, rose again on the third day so that we could have life, everlasting life because of Your grace to us. Help us to be reminded of that continually. And as we study Your Word this morning, help us to see the confidence that we have in Your Word and the confidence that we have in You as we live our life fully dependent on Your goodness to us. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, we're going to take a look. We've been going through the book of Philippians, the letter of Philippians, and we're going to continue to look through that. One of the interesting things is that while last week, Pastor Ben and I, we were talking, having a conversation about, of all things, soy sauce. And, you know, in Japan, soy sauce is a pretty big thing. And we really, really like our soy sauce. And so Ben and I were having this conversation about, hey, what's good soy sauce, you know? And I told him, you know, I told him about one of the soy sauces that I found that is literally the best soy sauce I've ever had in my life. And literally from this point and from the point that I started buying soy, like buying this particular soy sauce, I haven't gone to any other soy sauce brand. I love this soy sauce so much, I actually take it to the States with me so that I can have this soy sauce with me when I actually go to the States. And so we were having this conversation, like, Ben, dude, this soy sauce is amazing, man. You're going to love it. It's just awesome, right? So we were having this conversation. And so looking back, I was like, man, I really like talked a lot about that soy sauce. That's kind of interesting. But it kind of brought about a question. Kind of a philosophical question, I guess you could say. And the question is, why do we recommend things? Have you ever thought about the fundamental reason that we have the confidence to recommend one thing or one specific, like maybe a restaurant or maybe a grocery store, maybe an appliance or like a technological gadget or something, maybe a specific kind of food. For example, soy sauce, like I even brought it right here so you can see it. This kind of soy sauce, right? So why do we recommend this? Why do we recommend these things to those that are our friends and to those around us? And it basically boils down to one word. That word is confidence. We are confident that this particular item, this particular restaurant, this particular thing has filled our needs, has been good, has been reliable, consistently good, and good enough that we are sure and we're confident enough that we can recommend it to others and that it will also be just as good for them as it was for us, right? Our confidence in something is a big motivating factor in why we recommend one thing over another thing, or why we share things like Kikogo soy sauce to those around us. My experience with this was really good, and I'm confident that your experience with it is going to be good too. Hence, I recommend it to you, right? That's basically how one of the fundamental reasons that we recommend things, we share things with others. And really, today we're going to focus on the fact that our experience with Jesus, we're going to see in our passage that our experience with Jesus and our confidence in His goodness is also that same motivating factor that compels us to share Him with those around us. Paul is a great example of how that works in our life. Last week, we saw in Paul's letter to the Philippian church family. Remember, he was talking about how, hey, listen, God, Jesus's goodness towards you is wonderful and it's amazing. And Paul's prayer to the Philippian church family was that they would know him, that they would experience him more and more in their daily lives, and that they would recognize, clearly see more and more the goodness of Jesus in their lives through their walk with him, through their experience of life and experience of his goodness toward them, right? That experience plays a great role, a great factor in how we share Jesus with those around us. So let's take a look. How does our confidence in God's goodness display itself in our lives? That's kind of what we're going to look at. And here's the thing that's really interesting is because a lot of times in life, we face all kinds of different things. We face difficulty, we face disappointment, we face struggles, we face fear. We may get sick, we may get injured, accidents may happen, plans may get disrupted. A lot of times we get stuck in our homes for months and sometimes it drives us crazy, right? And even in these situations, we recognize the fact that we can be confident in God even through these difficult situations. And this is where our walk with our Heavenly Father is so important. That we keep our eyes focused on our Savior as we walk through these different areas of life, through the disappointments, through the struggles, through the difficulties that we find ourselves in. So let's look at our passage today to see how this plays out in Paul's life and then also how it plays out in our life. Philippians chapter 1 is where we're going to look. And we looked at the last couple of Philippians 1. We're going to look at verses 12 through 18 today. Verses 12 through 18. The last couple of verses reminded us of that thing that we saw about being focused in on walking with Jesus, the experience that Jesus that we get to have in Jesus in walking with Jesus, right? Let's look at verse 12 real quick. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12 says this. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Paul says that the things that happened to him helped to spread, to further the gospel. This begs the question, what happened to Paul? What are these things that Paul is describing that helped the gospel to be spread through the situations that he went to? Well, if we see where Paul's at right now, and if we see what happened for him to get to where he's at, it helps us a lot to understand kind of the context that Paul is talking about. About two to three years before this happened, his journey to his current destination began. You see, Paul was in Jerusalem approximately 3 years before this. He was sharing the gospel to many people there in Jerusalem. And of course, the Jewish leaders very much despised, hated Paul because of what Paul was teaching, because of salvation by grace through faith and not works. It wasn't the law that saved us. It was Jesus's sacrifice for us on the cross. It wasn't our obedience to the law, but rather our faith in Jesus that saves us. And the Jewish leaders despised that. They hated the fact that Paul was preaching this gospel. And so they tried to kill him many, many times. Eventually, they put him in prison for 2 years in a nearby city. In the city of Caesarea. And there he spent for 2 years. And in that time period, the Jews often tried to find ways in which they could kill him. One such time, Paul, in his defense, said, I am going to appeal to Caesar. And because of the fact that Paul was a Roman citizen, he had the right to appeal directly to the Emperor Caesar himself. And so, because of that, Paul and those who were around him began a journey to Rome. Of course, Paul was a prisoner at this time, and in their journey to Rome, Paul often met very difficult hardships, storms that lasted for weeks, and a shipwreck, and all kinds of difficult situations. Finally, when they made their way to Rome, Paul finds himself in prison. And there in prison is where his current situation is. He is in prison, tied to a Roman soldier continuously, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Roman soldiers are elite, high-powered Roman soldiers who take shifts every 4 hours to be with him. Every 4 hours, a new soldier takes his place. So basically, Paul has zero alone time, always with a hardened Roman soldier. And it's in this situation that Paul says, all of these things have happened so that the gospel can be spread. This is where Paul encourages his brothers and sisters in Philippi about how amazing and how good Jesus is in using him to share the gospel with others. See, where other people meant to do him harm, this is the amazing thing about Jesus, is that he used what others meant to do him harm to do him good, to make that harmful situation a situation that was full of goodness, full of his kindness toward him, reminding Paul consistently of his trustworthiness even in these times. Not only that, he was using these situations to help Paul show others how good Jesus is. And this is good for us to think about, because often people assume that when they find themselves in these really bad, horrible situations, right, that these things are hindering us from sharing how good Jesus is. Look, I'm in this terrible spot, right? And if Jesus was so good to me, why would he let me get in this spot? But here's the thing. We all face these difficult things, but the wonderful thing about Jesus is even in these things, that he uses these things. And oftentimes the things that, the situations that we find ourselves that seem to be the most difficult opens our eyes most clearly to how good Jesus is. It draws our attention to the fact that he is trustworthy, he is faithful, he is good to us, even in times of difficulty, even in times of despondency. He's good, he's faithful, and he's true. This is what happened to Paul. And so he was reminding his church family in Philippi of how good Jesus is. So let's look at verse 13 as we continue to see more deeply what's happening. In verse 13, Paul says this, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Here's what Paul is saying. My imprisonment is like pretty much famous right now. And the reason it's famous and the reason it's spread throughout all the palace. This is Caesar, the emperor of Rome, the emperor of the Roman Empire. It's the men that are guarding Paul are actually the elite praetorium, essentially the bodyguards of Caesar and his family. These are the bodyguards of Paul. The bodyguards of Caesar are the ones who are taking turns guarding Paul. 4 hours at a time, they take turns. 4 hours at a time, Paul is sharing the good news of Jesus with one after another of Roman soldiers who come in. Essentially, Paul has, I dare to say it, a captive audience. Yeah, you can kind of snicker. I would too. I was like, should I say that? Nah, probably not. No, I'm going to say it. Well, it wasn't long before the story of this old man chained in the prison spread throughout the whole palace. Here's the thing. Obviously, there were going to be people who did not want to have anything to do with the story of Paul and the story that Paul was sharing about Jesus, right? There were obviously soldiers who wouldn't have anything to do with it. But there were some who heard Paul share his experience with Jesus and how good Jesus was in his life. And they saw that not only the genuineness of his testimony, they saw how that played out in his life. And it intrigued them. They wanted to know more. They would ask him questions and they would learn more about who this Jesus was that Paul was talking about. And their intrigue transitioned from Paul to the person that Paul was actually talking about, to Jesus himself. There were many who trusted in Jesus because of the situation that Paul was in. how can I say that? How do I know that there are so many soldiers and maybe even beyond that, maybe even part of a Caesar's household that trusted in Jesus? Well, if we look at the end of the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, we see people who are greeting this group of people. Look with me real quick. Philippians chapter 4, at the very end, verse 22, literally the second to last verse, it says this: all the saints — we know when Paul says the word saints, we're talking about those who believe in Jesus, right? — all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Do you see the awe of that? How people put their trust in Christ. These Roman soldiers, maybe even as the story of Jesus spread throughout the bodyguards. Can you imagine the conversations? Oh man, I'll tell you what. You know, the Roman soldiers are talking to part of the family of Caesar. It's like, man, there's this guy called Paul in this prison. You would not believe the story he shared. It's amazing. Let me tell you what he said. And as those who believe in Jesus themselves also share the story of Jesus, many of Caesar's household, many of those who were part of the household or the situation in which Caesar was in, heard the gospel and trusted in Jesus. That's amazing, isn't it? But there's more to it than that. Paul's confidence in the goodness of Jesus helped many around him to discover Jesus's goodness themselves as he shared the gospel with them. But that wasn't where it ended. There was more to it than that. And we're going to see in the next verse. Go back to Philippians 1 and let's look at verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. This is amazing. Paul's confidence in the gospel not only affected those he was with there in the prison, but it also greatly affected his brothers and sisters in Christ there in the church in Rome. They saw Paul's bonds. They saw him in prison. They saw the difficulty that he was going through. They saw the hardship he was going through. And yet he was confident enough in Jesus, even in those difficult times. And as he shared the gospel, they saw those who trusted in Christ as well. And that gave them confidence. They started taking their eyes off of themselves and starting to put their eyes back onto Jesus, the one who guides them and comforts them and cares for them through whatever circumstance they go through. It gave them confidence in Jesus so that they were bold and say, listen, Jesus is amazing. This is my experience with Jesus. Let me share that experience with you, because just as my experience has been amazing and wonderful with Jesus, so also your experience with Jesus is going to be wonderful as well. Just as he changed my life, so he will also change your life. This is awesome. This is amazing. And think about how this kind of brings us back to us a little bit, right? How do you discover good things in life? You ever thought about it? How do you and I find good things? I go back to the soy sauce. Kikogoi soy sauce. Amazing stuff. Kikogoi soy sauce. How did I come about it? Did I happen to go onto this little shack, this little store that sells it, and say, hey, this is interesting. This has good potential. Let me go ahead and try it. No, actually, somebody else told me about it when we moved to this area. Somebody showed me, hey, this is really good soy sauce. You should try it. I was like, okay, I'll try it. You know, I was like, you know, everybody else, it's soy sauce. It's soy sauce. It doesn't change that much. And then I tried it. I was like, oh, wow. Oh, this is good. Oh, this is really good. And then from that point on, it didn't change my life, but it definitely changed my taste buds. And so, you know, as I think about that, as we receive God's goodness to us, right? And it's the same way. You and I rarely are the ones who come upon Scripture and say, hey, let me look into what the Bible says, and let me study the Scripture. That's a very rare thing. Most often people come to Jesus because somebody else shared the goodness of Jesus with them. That's how more than likely you discovered the goodness of Jesus yourself, right? And in the same way, just as we receive the goodness, so also we are to share the goodness of Jesus. And this is where a lot of difficulty comes, where a lot of times we might say, well, you know what, Pastor Steve, I know I should share the gospel with other people, but really and truly, you know what, there's a lot of things that I just don't know, you know? There's so much Bible. I mean, look at how thick the Bible is. And there's so much that I don't understand, so much that I don't know. And sometimes I'm really nervous about that. It's like, it's hard for me to share the gospel because there's a lot that I don't know. Well, to be honest with you, there's a lot I don't know about Kikkogo soy sauce. Like, if you were to ask me the nutritional aspects of Kikkogo soy sauce, I have absolutely no idea what it is. If you ask me, how did Kikkogo soy sauce come about? I have absolutely no idea. Who's the president of the Kikkogo soy sauce company? I have no idea. All I know is it tastes really good, and I know where you can get it. That's pretty much it. In the same way, my experience is good with Kikkogo soy sauce. And so I share that. What I know, I share. In the same context, what you know about the goodness of Jesus is what you share. Your experience. And this is the amazing thing. A lot of times we limit the power and the influence of the gospel to the capacity of our sharing of it. In other words, the gospel is only as powerful as my ability to share it. Is how we end up limiting the gospel by focusing instead of the power and the goodness of Jesus, rather we focus on our ability and our skill in sharing it. But can I tell you something that's amazing? Is that the power of Jesus and the power of his gospel is much bigger than you or your or my capacity to share it. This is why the Holy Spirit, see, so many times we forget about how the Holy Spirit works in people's hearts, how his truth deeply affects. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the bones and marrow, to the soul. In the same context, we forget about the spiritual power that the word of God and the gospel has and limit it to our own capacity to tell it. But God is so much bigger than our strengths and our abilities. Just as he is so much bigger than our situations that we find ourselves in. And so just as we recognize that God is bigger than our situations, so we must also recognize that God is bigger than our capacity to share the goodness of Jesus. Because the truth be told, we will never get to the point where our capacity to share the gospel is going to match the goodness of the gospel itself. Recognize that and be willing to share the goodness that you know, the goodness that you experience, just like everybody else does. This is so good for us to remember, isn't it? Let's keep going because we see that flow of the gospel continuing on. And here's the thing. This is so amazing. This is really cool because here's why. So if you think about not only how good Jesus is that transcends your situation, how powerful the gospel is that transcends your capacity to tell it, so also the effectiveness of the gospel transcends your motivation to tell it. Let me explain what I mean. Let's keep Let's keep reading verses 15, 16, and 17. Philippians 1, 15, 16, 17. This is really amazing. Some indeed preach Christ Can I go to verse? Nah, that's okay. Verse 15. We'll keep going to verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Those around Paul were sharing the gospel for two different motivations. Some were sharing it in confidence and love for Jesus. They were working together with Paul in sharing the goodness of Jesus to those around them. But there were also others who were very envious of Paul. They saw Paul's influence, even in the household of Caesar, right? Here Paul comes out of nowhere, gets thrown in prison, and he's in prison. And then all of a sudden, like everybody in the whole Roman guard knows about this guy who comes in out of nowhere to share the gospel. And here they've been, you know, the church in Rome, and they don't nearly have the influence that Paul has, right? And so they get envious. They get jealous of how God uses Paul, right? And they and in that envious, they become essentially gospel competitors. Sometimes we see that in church, don't we? You go through church and maybe somebody in the same church family as you may have been given a bigger sphere of influence. Maybe God uses the spiritual gifts of somebody in a more visible way than you. And the envy takes in. Why are they doing so much? I don't get it. I mean, they're not nearly as spiritual as I am. They're just trying to do it to show off. They're just trying to do it to kind of get attention on themselves. And envy kicks in, right? And this is the thing that's amazing. Yes, we ought to repent of the sin of envy. It has no place in the church family because God uses each one of us according to His will, not according to our skill set. It's His grace and only His grace that enables us to do what He wills through us. And so when we become envious of the place that God chooses is the best place for us, when we take our eyes off of Him, we should repent. But also, in our repentance, know that God isn't hindered by your sinfulness. He's much bigger than you. He's much bigger than our sin. He's much bigger than our capacity to share the gospel. He's much bigger than the situations that we find ourselves in. And because of that, we know that He is reliable. He is consistently good to us. This is what we see. And this is where Paul draws his attention back to those who are contending against him to share the gospel. And look at what he wraps up with. Verse 18. This is so amazing. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. He's being shared. And I therein do rejoice. That's what I'm rejoicing in. That's what's amazing. Yay, and will rejoice. And this is what I'm going to continue to rejoice in because of how amazing and how powerful Jesus is. So how can we be confident as we work together to share the gospel of Jesus? Let's bring this back a little bit. This is where Paul is bringing our attention back. How can you and I be confident in how God uses us, where God places us, and with what capacities He gives us to share the gospel? Let's go back to who Paul is writing to. The church in Philippi, right? The church in Philippi has been helping Paul without really knowing what has been going on. Hence the letter. Paul is letting them know what has been going on. They've been faithfully helping and taking care of Paul's needs in the ways that God has allowed them to share. And so Paul is revealing to them a little bit of what God is doing. All this time, the Philippian church had no idea what was going on. They did not know that Paul was being used by God to actually influence the household of Caesar, the Roman soldiers, introducing them to Jesus and then putting their faith in Jesus Christ. Little did they know that the help that they were sending was encouraging not only Paul, but other brothers and sisters in the church in Rome to tell others about Jesus. Little did they know the magnitude of with which God was using their sacrifice. This is helpful for us because a lot of times we may not see the effect of what God does through our small sacrifice. But can I tell you something? God is bigger than the sacrifice we give. He uses what little we have to magnify it in exponential proportions so that even though we may not see, we may only see the tip of the iceberg of what God does through our sacrifice for Him. One day, we will get to see it because He's so much bigger than us. He's so much bigger than what we give. And He uses that for His honor and glory.
just as we experience the goodness of Jesus, just as we experience the joy of being in His presence, the strength and the comfort we find in times of disappointment and discouragement, the path He guides us is consistently sure. And as we share the goodness of Jesus, just as I shared the taste of Kikogo soy sauce, so also we ought to share the goodness of Jesus with those around us. Remember what David said in Psalms, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." That's the truth. As we put our trust in Jesus, as we experience His goodness, let that be a huge reminder that God is bigger than your circumstances. He's bigger than the situation you find yourself in. He's bigger than your capacity to share the gospel. He's bigger than your motives for even sharing the gospel. And He's bigger than the sacrifice that you share with those around you as you share His good news. Let that be the motivation for why you share the gospel. He's good. You get to experience it. Share that experience with those around you. If you've never trusted in Jesus as your Savior, can I tell you, He is worthy of your trust. He will change your life. And it'll be a life that is amazing. It'll be a life that, yes, it may be difficult. There may be hardships that come your way. You will face disappointments and you will face all kinds of struggles. But even in those difficulties, you will find that Jesus is consistently, constantly good. The more you experience the goodness of Jesus, it will also be the reason that you will put your trust in Him and be the reason that you share Him with others. If you haven't trusted in Jesus, trust Him. I beg you. It'll be the best thing you've ever done. Much better than anything you could ever do. Let's pray, shall we? Close this out today in a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful for how good You are. Man, You are so amazing. All through life. And this is just one person's experience as we look through Paul's experience. But this experience that Paul had is consistent with everyone who puts their trust in You as they see how good and faithful You are. As we keep our eyes on You, I pray that You would continue to help us open our eyes so that we can see more and more clearly how good and faithful You are to us through all of life. Not only can we see it, but help us to share the goodness of Jesus as well. In Jesus' name, amen.